Hello, hello, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Wild Virginia Virtual Coffee Talk. I'm your host, Katie Keller, and today I am welcoming Jessica Roberts for her debut on the podcast. She is our new Habitat Connectivity Director, and so today is going to be a get-to-know-you episode. I'm so excited to tell our audience a little bit more about your background and really what you hope for our Habitat Connectivity Program. It is not necessarily the newest campaign for us, but it's one of my favorites because everyone just loves the little critters and the big critters in our state. But first, before we get started, Jessica, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, no. So I love your background. And so I thought we could start. Tell us a little bit more about that background and what kind of led you up to joining Wild Virginia.
Yes. I've always wanted to work in some type of conservation. I most recently got my PhD from George Mason University, and I got it in the Department of Environmental Science and Policy. I got connected with George Mason and my advisor because I did a lot of work previously through zoos and through actually the Wildlife Center of Virginia, which is really cool. I did a lot of reintroduction work, so either rehabilitating wildlife that is injured or sick somehow and then releasing them to the wild, or at the zoo, I was actually captive breeding endangered birds. Just really learned a lot about what goes into their reintroduction programs, how to best prepare them for survival in the wild. And through that, I got a lot of experience with just general wildlife conservation. So in terms of doing that stuff, applying to grants for wildlife conservation and also doing some habitat conservation work. And that got me really interested in what makes these reintroduction and wildlife conservation programs more successful. So that's why I joined my PhD program. So I researched that. And before that, I did a lot of work with just general wildlife conservation work. I worked for the South Yuba River Citizens League in 2012. They do the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, which is really cool to see that we also do that here. But I helped out with them. I was their watershed restoration coordinator, and I did a lot of stewardship and community-based conservation work there, and I really loved it. So I really wanted to kind of combine all my experiences into one, which is what Wild Virginia really... why it really stuck out for me was I got to do a lot of community-based conservation work. I got to do some policy and advocacy work, but also really, I really feel like I can make an impact on wildlife conservation because corridors and wildlife crossings are just such a key aspect of wildlife conservation.
For sure. And so, yeah, the Wildlife Center of Virginia are definitely friends of ours, in addition to the Rockfish Wildlife Sanctuary. And so that's really cool to hear that, like, your background included, you know, working at some of those zoos, doing rehabilitation work, and then the reintroduction. I mean, yeah, that's so cool to hear that, like, all of that combined is what interested you in Wild Virginia and all of the things that we do in trying to mobilize citizens and get them involved in the policy of it. And so in addition to kind of the combination of everything in your background, what else interested you about Wild Virginia's connectivity work? And I mean, particularly with the Virginia Safe Wildlife Corridors Collaborative, if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Yes, definitely. I really was interested in this position at Wild Virginia because I feel like it was an opportunity for me to work at all different levels. So I did a lot of community-based conservation work in the past, and I've done some work with legislators, a lot of federal type of legislation work. But I really wanted to work at all levels, and I thought that this job was a really great opportunity to do that. So I get to work with community-based initiatives, so I get to do grassroots type of stuff, but I also get to do some taproots type of stuff. I get to work with policymakers and a lot of our really amazing conservation partners, and then connecting them. So I love being this sort of middle person between these grassroots and these grass tops organizations to bring everybody to the table to have some kind of work that is on both sides, they get a benefit. So really that coming to table work was something that I'm very much so interested in. And Wild Virginia just seemed like such a good way and a good place to be able to do this. And I definitely, with just being here over a little over a month, I definitely still feel that way. And I think also I am very passionate just in general about habitat connectivity work because I've worked for organizations like the Wildlife Center of Virginia, where I saw a lot of wildlife, the aftermath basically of wildlife vehicle conflict, and having to see that in person was really eye-opening, and just how much of that wildlife vehicle conflict there is out there. And it just, you know, it's heartbreaking, and I really wanted to be at the forefront of trying to solve these issues. And so I thought that this was a really good chance for me. And then there's a lot of really cool state and federal infrastructure building projects going on right now that I really wanted to help facilitate better planning for infrastructure that has wildlife and conservation and climate change within those infrastructure plans. And so I thought that this was also a great place to do that. And it's turning out to definitely be that.
Yeah. And I mean, certainly with all of our campaigns, I feel like, you know, engaging different partners and connecting those partners just to brainstorm, you know, best practices and influence policy, but also, you know, doing the research behind it. I know that Viswick is a big part of that collaborative. And in your work with rehabilitation, I'm sure it's so eye-opening and it's probably so hard to see, but let's talk about what your favorite animal to work with has been.
So for sure, in terms of native, and I'm a little bit biased because I've worked with birds for a really long time. I did not plan it. It came about via the Wildlife Center of Virginia. When I helped out with their rehabilitation work, we worked a lot with lots of different bird species, and I really loved working with hawks in particular. I really liked working with red-tailed hawks. They were really fascinating, very smart. American crows were also really fun to work with. And then, I mean, yeah, I really just love all birds. I've worked a lot with exotics. I've worked with parrots. But in terms of native Virginia wildlife, I would definitely say hawks, red-tailed hawks. And I did work a little bit with bears, which was really, really fun and very eye-opening in terms of bear behavior and just how susceptible they are to free food and how food motivated they are. And so that's also something that I take a lot of inspiration for habitat connectivity and creating these plans that allow for coexistence between humans and wildlife, is that like a lot of these animals are so food motivated, and that really does work into connectivity and conservation work.
Well, and you know, when folks are thinking about like wildlife crossings and corridors and connectivity, I mean, we're obviously thinking about big animals like bears and deer. But I love hearing that your favorite animal to work with has been birds, because they also have, you know, migratory patterns and corridors in a sense of the word. And so yeah. I love hearing that. I mean, would you have any thoughts on, you know, connecting the habitat that birds are trying to get to?
Yeah, I think for that, in terms of things that we could do, there's a lot of potential for just migratory birds in spring and fall migration, and thinking about the habitats that they need when they are migrating up here. So for instance, in the spring, for spring migration, a lot of the birds coming up are a breed in grassland type of environments. And we have a lot of land in Virginia that our migratory birds use. And if they're fragmented or they're really subpar habitat, a lot of people don't really think about, like, when we connect habitats, how important that is in terms of not just that they're able to move throughout the habitats, but then you're creating healthier environments as well by having more core areas. And those core areas are really important because they tend to have less invasive species and more native species that these migratory birds use for breeding and hiding and nesting and food. And so just really having intact grasslands and having connected grasslands, which allows them to have more of that core habitat, but also having some kind of regulations with landowners and things like that, where they don't mow at certain times, or they hold off on mowing their grasslands until a little bit after the breeding season, so you give them the time to do that breeding. And so there are a lot of opportunities out there for not just only, you know, we want to reduce this wildlife vehicle conflict, of course, but we're also trying to increase the biodiversity and the healthy ecosystems of Virginia. And that is a large way to do that is through habitat connectivity and this habitat conservation work.
Well, yeah, thanks for like kind of bringing it all home. I mean, obviously connectivity, vehicle conflicts, those are the types of things that I feel like civilians are not necessarily thinking about. You know, they're thinking about hitting things with their car and what impact that has on them. So kind of moving on, you know, Wild Virginia, obviously we're about getting people outside and kind of excited about more of the adult work that we do. And so do you, I know that you're Northern Virginia based, but what are some of your favorite places to, you know, either hike or just be outside and experience nature and beauty in Virginia?
Oh my gosh, so many. I love Virginia. I have been here for many, many years. And again, yes, definitely more in Northern Virginia, but I'm always in Front Royal, Virginia. I have a lot of friends out there and I've spent a lot of time at the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute. And so a lot of places in Front Royal, I really love to hike around and just generally be around, especially in the fall time. It's really fun. I would say a couple of my favorite hiking spots are, I really love Hawksbill Mountain, just in general, love Skyline Drive. And then two really big ones that I love that have great vistas. It's actually right on, if you get up to the vista, you are right on the border of Virginia and West Virginia. Like you have 1 foot in West Virginia and one in Virginia. And it's Tibet Knob and Big Schloss. They're really cool. They're a little bit far away from me right now. That's probably like a 2-2.5 hour drive. But I make the effort to make that trek because I really love, they're right next to each other. So you like arrive at this, it's called the Wolf Gap campground. And you can, if you go one way, you go up to Tibet Knob. And then if you go the other way, you go to Big Schloss. And I love them. And it's just like, it's really cool to see the connection between Virginia and West Virginia, just really great vistas.
Yeah. Those are some of my favorite places to hike are along the border of Virginia and West Virginia. Very, very beautiful sites. And yeah, like you said, October is such a great time to hike in our state, you know, with the leaves changing, but also just feeling that crisp air after the blaze of summer that we experience. And so October is also a really busy time for wildlife on the roads. And so would you have any advice for our listeners and what they might need to look out for?
For sure. So just in general, it's getting darker sooner. But in addition to that, some wildlife are becoming more active. So a lot of wildlife are preparing for the winter, whether or not they're going to be doing some kind of type of hibernation or what have you, just there's going to be less resources for the winter. So they're more active trying to get, build up their weight and build up whatever caches they have to have food over the winter. So a lot of that, but then in terms of wildlife vehicle conflict, the big ones to look out for are deer because mating season is also coming about. It's lasts from about September to February. And it's really concentrated in November. And so they're going to be wandering around looking for mates. And so this is increased dispersal of these deers. They're going to be crossing more roads and, you know, they're going to be, they're also crepuscular species. So that means that they're active during the morning and the evening. And so that is the high time of when everybody is going to be traveling on roads. And then for bears too, they're also crepuscular. So they're also active more in the mornings and the evenings, and they're going to be really dispersing a lot more because they're looking for food. They're in a time period where they're really trying to build up their weight for the winter so they can hibernate and survive throughout the winter. So they're looking for more food sources. So just some things to keep in mind for motorists is to be really attentive in the early mornings and the evenings. I mean, all the time, but especially in the mornings and the evenings. If you come across a large wildlife, so like a deer or a bear, I think it's better to not swerve so you don't lose control of your vehicle. And it's just better just try to slow down and brake as quickly as you can. And then just to really stay alert in areas that seem to have a lot of forested areas and things like this. And especially where there are deer crossing signs. So look out for those deer crossing signs. They are there for a reason. They're there to make you more aware that there's increased deer activity. And then it's important to know that if you see one deer, there might be a lot more deer behind it or in front of it. So just be aware, looking at those shoulders all the time for that wildlife. And something also that I want people to think about too is litter. And I can probably guess that people who are listening to our podcast and aware are probably not the litterers, but just to remind others to not litter, especially because that attracts wildlife. And if you're littering at the side of the road, that attracts wildlife to the side of the road. And so we don't want to be doing that either.
Yeah, definitely slow down. Just be more aware of your surroundings. I'm waiting for them to change the daylight savings or fall back. But until then, when everybody's going to be driving home from work on the roads, it's just important to take your time. And also, if you do happen to be in a wildlife vehicle conflict, we do have information on best practices, what to do next on our website at wildvirginia.org. So that's important to be aware of. So I really appreciate you joining the podcast to tell us a little bit about you. And I'd really love to close out. What do you hope to develop or execute as the Habitat Connectivity Director? And what are your dreams for this program?
Yes. So that's a great question. I have this huge ideas document that I'm working on right now. And I think my big ideas really are to make advocacy and information available to the public that's as easy as possible for the public to access. So things like getting all of our habitat connectivity data in one really accessible location where they can look up not only, you know, what are the transportation projects in their area, do they have infrastructure improvement projects in the area where they could improve terrestrial crossing or aquatic organism passage, and make really all that data accessible for the public so we can easily tag into the public for any kind of advocacy and just really make our voice known in Virginia that we want more habitat connectivity out there. And just when we have all the data available to us, we can reference that and hopefully get more projects on the ground. And then, like, in addition to that is just working more regionally with communities about what's going on in their localities in terms of habitat connectivity and encouraging more projects that not only connect habitats and reduce that vehicle conflict, but have more climate change resilience types of projects. And yeah, just I want to be connecting with more people, more organizations. So if you're out there and you want to connect, please do email me.
Awesome. Yeah, we are all about connecting, and we really hope to have more ways the public can plug into this kind of work. And I'm so excited that Jessica is leading this front. So for more information and habitat connectivity breaking news, you can visit wildvirginia.org.